Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, precious Lord, for you have made us a custodian of very wonderful information. For you have spoken in your word and said that I no longer call you servant, but I call you friend. Because a servant knows not what his master is planning. But you have told us everything. Zahid, play Zahid. We are custodians of information that the world does not know. And we know where we stand in all of this. We thank you, Father, because this is not something we take lightly, but that you've revealed these things to us for the purpose of preparing us as a bride that waits for the groom. Father, we thank you because the Spirit and the bride say come. The Spirit and the bride say come. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, because as we draw closer and closer to that day, we are prepared to be a church without blemish, to be a bride without blemish, who is adorned and is ready in every way for the groom. And you shall so find us, Lord, prepared and waiting for you. And so shall we be in the marriage supper of the Lamb. And blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb, as we are. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Matthew chapter 24, verse 29 says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Praise the Lord. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. Now, Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as the sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. Now we know, of course, the scripture is talking about the same event here, spoken about by so many people, from Isaiah to the Lord Jesus Christ himself, spoken of also by Paul in the Thessalonians, spoken of in the book of Revelation, as well as in the epistle of 2 Peter. So it's spoken of by so many people. And I just want us to look at these things and imagine what it is going to be like. Because you see, when you read that the sun will turn into, will become dark, and the moon. Now, for people so many years ago, perhaps even the people who wrote this, they'd be wondering, how can the moon become like blood, okay? But of course now in today's terminology, we know that that just means an eclipse, okay? For we've seen blood moons, you've heard of blood moons, eh? And you've seen moons which are really like blood. Now that's just a description of an eclipse. So all the things which appear here, which look like extraordinary, how is this even going to happen, actually have explanations which might seem natural, even in the current day and age. Amen? Explanations which you can actually tailor down to something you can relate with. Okay? In as much as the timing of them and they are prophesied, and even the timing of them, everything is supernatural. But the event itself, when it happens, is something which all these things can be explained. For instance, at the crucifixion, they say as soon as Jesus said it is finished, then there was darkness from the sixth hour, which is midday, to the ninth hour, which is 3 p.m. Now, if you check NASA, they will tell you that there was a complete solar eclipse, which covered all over the Middle East between midday and 3 p.m. on that day. Okay? How do you know the day? You trace it back. Now, of course, how did they know that? You know how. Because the technology wasn't there at the time, but now that they have the technology and they can see how the sun and the moon move, they can both predict what's coming ahead and what happened behind. You understand? Eh? So it's just a matter of rewinding and seeing how the sun moves, and then you know at this time the sun will, you know, the moon will be eclipsing the sun, and then you can rewind as back to as many as, like, you know, 700 BC, as long as the technology is there. But of course they didn't know it at the time. But you see in the scripture it says there was darkness, which there was. But now we can explain that in terminology that makes sense to us in this day and age. Now I want us to look at some of these things and not just look at them as, you know, these extraordinary things, but actually relate them to things which have happened in our day, which we can actually put a finger on and say that this is how it is going to happen. Amen? Okay. Now, Jesus said, that scripture, Matthew chapter 24. Now, look at this. I looked and when he opened, go back to where. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. The earthquake you can relate with. But I told you that earthquakes are symbols of things which happen in the heavenlies. The big earthquakes. Aside from the fact that Jesus said there would be a lot more earthquakes as we draw near the end of the age, which is actually the case. And we've seen that. You can go and check that. The number of earthquakes has increased exponentially, and even the magnitude of them has increased exponentially and continues to increase every decade as we go ahead. But see, one of the reasons that is so is because Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 6 says, "Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look on the earth beneath. For the heavens will vanish away like smoke." Remember those words, eh? Will vanish like what? Smoke. "The earth will grow old like a garment. And those who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever and my righteousness will not be abolished." Now, remember he says the earth will grow old like a garment. Okay? Now, the only example he gives is one of a garment. Now, if you know anything that is old and is beyond its time starts behaving in an erratic way. You understand? For instance, if you have an old car, you drive it and park it at night, and in the morning it refuses to start. And last night, it was okay. Now, that is a clear sign that it's old. You understand? Which means it has done its time, and it was manufactured to last a certain time, and you've exceeded that time. And for some of you here, you've even just bought it, and it's new in your hands. But it's actually past its time. So now, you start spending a lot of time in the garage, which is a clear sign that your car's run out. Now, of course, cars don't behave like that in the first 10 or even 15 years of their, because they are manufactured to last at least that long without any troubles. So, but as it goes past, you know that it starts behaving erratically, and then you know that it is coming to the end. Now, the earth in which we currently live, or even a human being, for example, I mean, when you're 15, you can get a cough and you don't treat it until you go. Amen? Yeah. And that not by faith, eh? You know, eh? Just by ignoring it and it goes. Because your body was manufactured to last many more years. Eh? Now, when you get to 80, or let's say 85, or 90, since some of you guys are, you know, yeah, strong people, your body starts reacting erratically. In other words, today you're treating pneumonia, then it goes, then you say, oh man, I'm cured. Then the next day another thing comes up. Then now what the body is telling you is that time up. Eh? Like it was not manufactured to last forever and its time of expiry is about. Now Jesus, Hebrews also says this in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 11. I think quotes the same scripture. It says, "But they will perish but you remain and they will all grow old like a garment." Eh? Says that the earth also, when it comes towards its expiry date, because remember, the Lord, he manufactured the earth to last a certain time period. And now when it's coming towards its end, then certain things will not function the way they were supposed to function. And of course, people will say climate change and all that, and you know, you reduce carbon, you know, emissions and all that. But let me tell you, they will reduce carbon emissions and the earth will continue reacting as erratically as it is, because it's not even caused by what men do. You understand? Eh? Now, of course, they would say industries and all that, and that's what science said, and so many of you would believe it, but it is not true. Okay? There is climate change, but the reason is because it's like telling an 85-year-old that the reason you're falling sick all the time is because you're eating wrong food. I mean, time up. Even if she started eating the right food, she will still behave like that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Eh? So if the body has reached its manufactured, you know, or if your mechanic tells you if you do this and do this and do this, and you've driven your car is 1985 model, eh? And you're still driving it, eh? And no matter what you do and try to change, it is still going to behave the same way because its time is up. Now, the earth is in this phase, and we have to understand that certain things cannot be the same as the ones were, because it's telling us that the manufacturer manufactured me for this number of years, okay, and I'm coming to an end of those years. And the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Now, I want you to notice this, that he says the heavens will pass away with great noise. I want you to notice that, great noise. These are words which the other one said, smoke. Now, here it's saying great noise. And the elements will melt away with fervent heat. Now, remember, God promised not to destroy the earth with water, but this current earth will be destroyed through heat, through heat that is beyond it, okay? Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Verse 11, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, okay, by heat, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? What I was interested in there is the idea of it being dissolved, okay, with heat. Now, a great earthquake, the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. That one we understand. That one we can relate with. Eh? Those are eclipses. Now go ahead. And the stars of the heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Now, that shows that there is something which is great. Now, you know about falling stars. Eh? Now, falling stars are actually meteorites. You know those particles of dust and what, which rotate around the orbit. And sometimes they get out of their orbit and come close to Earth, and they are drawn by the Earth's magnetic field or the gravity, and they actually come, but they split in so many, so you see it as a falling star, okay? Now, that's what falling stars are. Now, it says, but something happens here which is so great that it shakes everything, that stars fall suddenly, like a fig tree when it is shaken. Now, this symbolism in the Bible is not idle. I want you to understand that. That just imagine a tree which you've shaken and the figs are ready and they start falling. Like you used to shake mangoes. Like it is shaken by a mighty wind. Okay, go ahead. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up. Now, this is what sounds extremely out of this world. Okay, now the sky, how can the sky be rolled? But you see also, the scripture actually says, bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. Who cover yourself with light as with a garment? Who stretch out the heavens like a curtain? So, what this scripture is saying, that the one who stretched out the heavens like a curtain will actually recede. It will be receded the same way you remove a curtain. So, God put out the heavens like a curtain, and now go back to our other scripture, then he says, the sky will be receded like a scroll. Okay, curtain, a scroll, more or less the same. You understand? Eh? All these are like. So if you stretch out a bed sheet or let's say a blanket, and you can, you know, pull it back, and then suddenly, now this is what it's talking about. The sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. Now this sounds amazing. Not some mountains, eh? Not some mountains. Every mountain was moved out of its place, okay? Now go ahead. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and say to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Now Jesus himself said, the whole tribes of the earth will mourn when they see all this happening, and then the sign of the Son of Man, and then the Son of Man himself coming. Now, it's interesting that there is none of these signs that has not actually come to pass. All the things that you read about, let's say at the birth of Christ, the star which was followed by the wise men from the east, who really were from Persia, where they had studied a lot of astronomy, okay? And they knew all these things. So they knew when certain planets or constellations aligned themselves in a certain way, then they knew something was happening. They knew, for instance, that Venus, which is actually called the morning star, okay, because it is the first star that, it's the star that comes just before the dawn and also comes in the evening, so in terms of sighting. So they knew that when Jupiter and Venus align themselves in a certain way, then royalty is being born. Now, these were people who are not from Israel, who are not expecting a Messiah, who are not doing anything, but they just saw, these were Persians, okay, the so-called wise men, or the Magi from the east. These were Persians who just studied the movement in the skies and knew somebody of importance is being born. And they knew that eventually the star which they were seeing was going to show them where that person was being born. So they land on Jesus, and they just know that this person is great. So they actually go and they talk to Herod and tell him that the king, we are looking for the king of the Jews. How did they know he's the king of the Jews? They are not Jews. They are not waiting for a Messiah. They don't care about, they are Persians. They believe in their own stuff. But they just studying the sky. Now, so many things of what Jesus told us about the signs towards the end are actually things which are happening in the sky. A lot of them are spectacular things which come and go in the news without us ever noticing. But they are actually pointing us towards the fact that we are living in a very special period. And none of these things comes at a time when something great doesn't happen in the world. Okay? Now, Jesus said the whole tribes of the earth will mourn. Here, the one says the great men and everybody will run away, and somehow they'll be shaken by, and they will ask rocks to fall on them, which is the same as Joel chapter 2 and verse 30, which a scripture which, of course, all of you know. I will show the wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire, blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. Remember these words, blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. Go ahead. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. Now we know this great and awesome day of the Lord is the day after the, on the battle of Armageddon, when Jesus comes at the end of the age, at the end of this age. We are not talking here about the rapture. The rapture will have happened already. We are talking about when Jesus comes to set his kingdom on earth. This is the time we are talking about. Now, I want to show you some of the things which come and go, like some things which have been in the news. Now, this thing was reported by Fox News around 2009, actually, April 2009, and they called it the Crown of Thorns. Now, this is NASA. Actually, they are the ones who called it that, the Crown of Thorns. These are pictures which have not been tampered with, just as they are. Now, somehow, a crown of thorns, which is similar to what Jesus had, shows the sky around 2009, okay? Beginning of 2009. Now, if you follow closely what happened in 2009, now I'll tell you, for instance, I'll just give you one example, but the others. For instance, that's when Obama became president of America, at a time which some of us celebrated because he's a black, you understand? But I don't know of anybody who has spread evil as much as that man by just being president for 8 years, do you understand? So many things changed, so many things, like a number of things were totally unthinkable, even up to here, you understand? Thank God I don't go to certain places, but when I hear stories of how things like homosexuality and what have spread in quite a number of, and like you just have somebody who is leading and it spreads out like this, and within a short time, from the way things were before, in a matter of 8 years, the amount of evil that has spread is unthinkable. Now, not just that, to the occult, to what, to so many things which actually spread exponentially at that time. Now I'm seeing the person who came after him is trying to stop the tide, trying to turn things around and around. But it's going to be hard because somehow those things have been entrenched into the cultures of some of these nations. Because of the unique role that that country plays in the world, somehow when something good happens there, especially in the church, it spreads towards all the world. And that is true for something bad. Okay? Now, I don't know a time where, like, it was so powerful that it even spread towards the church, and churches started, first of all, it presents itself through social things like sex change, like, you know, of course, homosexuality and lesbianism, and things like abortion, state-sponsored abortion, you understand? Occultism, and so many other things, which somehow you just see from 2009 up to now, somehow spread so fast, and you can hardly contain it. You just see the culture shifting and shifting and shifting to a point where you can't stand up and even stand for what is right without being condemned. You understand? Eh? Now, was it like that in 2009? It wasn't. It wasn't. So, now this is the crown of thorns. Now, somehow, the thorns, this shows some kind of Milky Way, okay? NASA themselves called it the eye of God, but it's called some kind of, Milky Way with a lot of gases going through, but it somehow comes out into an eye, and these are images from them, okay, from NASA. And this was around 2008, and actually some people commenting on their thing said God is watching, and they were actually telling him, don't watch us, let us do our thing. Okay, now this is another image of the same thing, of the same eye of God, with the, you know, you see the whatever's around, and it just comes out like that. And they themselves call it the eye of God. Now, this is the same image, actually, of the other thing. Now, this one is perhaps not so clear. You see, there is a hand, it goes here, and there are five fingers. It's actually a lot clearer if you see it on a different device. And actually, they themselves called it the hand of God. They themselves, and all these things have been happening. And actually, these are things which could pass your eye, but they are happening at times when certain key events are happening in the world. And somehow, they take, now that's all a whole galaxy, and there is a hand somehow created by, I don't know what they call it, and seeming to pull this thing out of the way. And you look at it and you say, wow. Now, you see the way this thing is. This is an actual image of an asteroid which hit the Earth, and according to scientists, which of course is the most unreliable source, but I'll just tell you what they say. According to scientists, this was the event because it hit somewhere around Mexico, now that around the Gulf of Mexico, and it spread through extremely diverse, and they claim, you go to the next picture, they claim that this was the asteroid. This is a picture from it. Now, this looks like a small hole, but it is hundreds of miles wide. This is an extremely big hole, but it's because it's taken from very high up. Now, the scientists claim that it was the one which led to the disappearance of dinosaurs. I don't know how believable that is, but anyhow. But you see, the thing with science is it involves a lot of faith, because they come up with theories, which even they cannot, but somehow, then they take them on and they start teaching them and they make everybody believe them. And it's as much faith as believing in, you know, Genesis 1:1, you understand? But then they say yours is faith, ours is science. But actually, you need more faith to believe their rubbish than you need faith to believe what the Bible says. But you see, somehow, because they fool everybody into thinking science is the, and now even the other day, Uganda Communication, UCC, Communications Commission, says that now Baroko radios should no longer advertise miracles in their meetings, because the miracles that they, and he was quoted as saying that they claim to cure cancer and AIDS, and it is not been scientifically proven. Here is the thing. Scientifically, if you have cancer, you're going to die. So if you want science, just go and dig your grave. You understand? Eh? But, like, that's what science has told you. But some people would rather believe that than try another alternative, you understand? Which says, okay, maybe some people don't get healed. Okay, not maybe, some people don't get healed. But if you were actually sick, wouldn't you want to try this alternative and see if it works, you understand?
Because science doesn't have a solution. The solution is death. But people make it look like it is the epitome of it. No, it is actually the least of the least. Because where science stops is where we start. Okay? Like the most immature believer understands more than the best scientist who is only depending, and I mean this, who is only depending on his natural capacity, you understand? Unless the scientist is also born again, then he can add. But if the scientist is not born again, you know what the scripture says? The wisdom of men is foolishness to God. You understand? You think you're so wise, but God looks at you and you're an absolute fool. You understand? That's the Bible, not me. Of course, I'm also capable of saying those words. But this time, they are not my words. Okay, now, anyhow, these people claim that this asteroid, which hit the Earth some time ago, those years ago, was responsible for the destruction of dinosaurs. If you want more of that, go and watch Jurassic Park. Because that's where science stops. Like to us, science are like cartoons. Jurassic Park, what, King Kong, that's science. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, of course, some people get messed up when they hear this because the world, the Babylonian system has captured their mind. So they want to prove this and that and what. And then they ascend to the height of their minds. But, okay, tell me something before I go to the next step. Tell me something. How can two big objects like this, like that thing, go and bang each other? And then they create something as organized as they are. And here is the other thing. That's what science believes. And that's what they teach. Now, here is the other thing. The objects which collided are not even 10% of the size of the Earth. So, in other words, I get these two bottles, and I hit them, and I get a jerry can. Now, that's what science believes. Now, I mean, how can anybody be so stupid? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, that is the epitome of stupidity. But people believe it because it is presented as science. How can you believe that? I mean, even without, try telling that to your nursery kid. And he'll just look at you and say, Dad, have you run out of... But that's what professors are teaching, with long beards and coats and what. Anyhow, so, but you see, sometimes I actually go and read these theories, and I read them, and I used to get magazines and read what they believe. And you can see people who need like 10 times, if those people brought that faith into Christianity, they would be healed and prosperous and everything. Because man, they have a lot of faith, but in the wrong thing. Now, this is a story which I read from the BBC, and it's about a meteorite which hit the Earth. Now, you've heard of stories of so many close to the Earth and close to the Earth. You understand? Now, you see this. This is different, though. But you see, you know how the galaxy is. Now, let's say, like, this is the sun, then this, different places. And let's just say, for argument's sake, this is not a picture of the galaxy, but I'm just using it because it has the same. Now, let's say, like, the Earth is here. Now, what happens is, along all these other, circles, are so many meteorites which somehow move in the same orbit as the planets. So in a way that they actually are not supposed to meet the planets, you understand? However, some of them get out of their orbit and start falling. Let's say one comes from an orbit here and starts falling down towards the Earth. Now, so many of them, now the fear is if they actually come too close to Earth, then they are pulled by gravity and they can actually hit the surface of the Earth. Now, so many of them come close and close, but they don't ever hit. But some, over the period, have hit. This was one of them, which happened so many years ago, actually quite some years ago. But then there was one which actually happened about 100 years ago, in 1908, on 30th June. Now, this is a story I read in an explosion ripped through the air above a remote forest in Siberia near the Tunguska River. The fireball is believed to have been 50 to 100 meters wide. Now imagine just 50 to 100 meters wide. You know 100 meters. You've watched Usain Bolt. So now estimate that distance he runs, or estimate a football field. So that's about a football field. Most of them would be around about that. Okay, the length of a football from one goal to the other. Now it's about that big.
And it depleted 2,000 square kilometers of forest in that area. In other words, it's just this big, but because it's traveling at almost 50,000 kilometers an hour, at an extreme speed, when it hits the earth, just the ripple effect from it spreads, and this one, this particular one, destroyed 2,000 square kilometers. Now that's quite some distance, but thankfully it was in a very, very remote area in Russia. Now, you know, Russia is a very, very big country from here to the other side. Now, there are areas, those sides of Siberia, where very few people actually dwell. Now, for some reasons, the only ones which, big ones, which you know to have hit the earth, all hit Russia. I don't know why. Okay. And it flattened, it depleted 2,000 square kilometers and flattened 80 million trees because it largely fell in a forest area. Now, the earth trembled, the windows smashed in the nearest town, which was over 35 miles away. Okay? They could hear the tremor of the crash. Residents there even felt the heat. Remember the words I was telling you to know? You know, it heats. It's just like a stone heating, but somehow it spreads a lot of heat and a huge tremor. Now, residents here were saying they felt the heat, and some of them were blown off their feet. You know, you're walking, and then because of this huge thing which comes at between 35 and 50,000 kilometers an hour, imagine how fast that is. Nothing close to, you know, anything that you can imagine or that, you know, but comes and hits the earth. So, anyhow, the crash was followed by a noise like stones falling from the sky or guns or firing. Fortunately, now I'm reading a story from the BBC. Fortunately, the area in which the massive explosion occurred was sparsely inhabited. There were no official reports of human casualties, though one local deer herder reportedly died after he was thrust into a tree from the blast. So he's walking, then the thing throws him up in a tree somehow, and then he dies. And so many of his deer, apparently the reindeer, were burnt and reduced to like charred corpses. Okay? Now, how does that create this? Now, this is actually what happened, where something huge hits the earth, and somehow it creates all this heat that people feel the heat from 60 kilometers away, 35 miles away. They can feel it's too hot. Anyhow, and now this is like science. One eyewitness of the account said, now listen to this, the sky was split in two. Now, this is one only 50 to 100 meters wide. But he says the sky was split in two. High above the forest, the whole northern part of the sky appeared covered with fire. Okay? At that moment, there was a bang in the sky and a mighty crash. The crash was followed by a noise like stones falling from the sky or of guns firing. So imagine all these stones falling. Bah, 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 bah. Now, Jesus said, shake and the stars falling. You understand? Now, this is an eyewitness just describing what he saw at that time. Then it says, it's called the Tunguska event, remains the most powerful of its kind recorded in history. It produced around 185 times more energy than the Hiroshima atomic bomb that was thrown on Japan by the United States in 1945. Now, you know what that atomic bomb produced. You've heard of it. This one produced, and it's not even a bomb, it's just a huge stone. But it produced 100, and actually some estimates say as much as 1,000 times more energy was produced than the atomic bomb that was thrown on Hiroshima and Nagasaki by the Americans in 1945. So now that's what it does. Now it says seismic rumbles were even observed as far away as the United Kingdom. Now think about that. The farthest side of Russia, you see this map, Russia starts from here up to there. Now Moscow is here, but now all this is Russia. This is why something so big can fall, and this part is too cold for anybody to inhabit anyway. Now this is why this thing can fall and hardly disturbs anybody. Almost all the cities of Russia, Moscow, St. Petersburg, and what, on that side. Now this other side is, but imagine it comes from there and crosses mainland Europe is this side, and the seismic events are felt as far away as the United Kingdom. And that is just 50 to 100 meters. Now,
another meteor crashed on the earth, which wasn't that big, but this one happened actually in our lifetime. Okay, it happened in 2003 in February. Now, a meteor crashing in Russia's Ural Mountains injured 950 people as the shockwave blew out windows and rocked buildings. Most of those hurt, I'm reading again a story, again from the BBC. Most of those hurt were from the pieces that fell. But somehow it fell. But this one wasn't that big anyway. And the meteor's dramatic passage was witnessed as many as 200 kilometers to the north and in Kazakhstan to the south. Okay? A huge line of smoke, like you get, now listen to what one of the people also it said. A huge line of smoke like you get from a plane, but many times bigger, said one of the residents. Now imagine it comes, like, you know those MiGs, eh, which leave smoke. Now it says so many times more, that's the kind of effect it has. Eh? Now, I'm also quoting another eyewitness who says, it was an extraordinary event. A resident of that place with a name, which is like 17 letters said, told the BBC. So I'm not going to even to attempt to pronounce it. We saw a very bright light, and then there was a kind of a track, like white and yellow in the sky, like fire coming. And that's just one of these things falling out of the orbit from all this far side. But you see how big Russia is, from all this side. And but this one was much smaller and actually fell more closer to where people inhabit. So he says the explosion was so strong. First of all, he said that it was like a kind of trap, white and yellow, like fire in the sky. Eh? Then he says the explosion was so strong that some windows in our buildings and in the buildings that were across the road and in the city in general, the windows broke, were just shattered. And this is actually so many kilometers away. Now, here is the saving grace. Officials say that a large meteor partially burned up in the lower atmosphere, resulting in a number of meteorites falling towards the earth. In other words, it was supposed to be much bigger, but somehow in the air, it split. And so now the small ones fall. Now the small ones had the cause damage, you know, those. But it saves, because if it comes in one piece, then it can cause the kind of damage that the other one caused. Eh? Let me go ahead. Now I'm trying to explain to you how the sky recedes. Eh? Now, 50 to 100 meters, this guy says, it feels like the sky splits because this thing is falling out of a different orbit. You understand? Now, if you're looking, it's like the sky opens up and then it comes and then it hits and everything shakes around it. Then the heat, okay, everything around it melts. The deer, remember, were cooked. They were like, they had been burnt. And all the trees around, 80 million trees were burnt. Absolutely burnt, like there was a fire, but there was no fire. I'll read another eyewitness. I was in the office and suddenly I saw a very bright flash in the window in front of me, he said. Then I smelled smoke fumes. I looked at the window and saw a huge line of smoke, like you get when a plane from a plane, but many times bigger. A few minutes later, the window suddenly came open and there was a huge explosion, followed by lots of little explosions. Now this is, then he said, I felt like I was blinded by headlights. You know, like somebody flashes very bright lights in you, eh? Like those stadium lights. So he felt it comes with that brightness, with that heat, with the shock waves, and with all that. Okay, and that now that was actually a very small one. Now, the Russian Academy of Science estimates that the meteor weighed about 10 tons and entered the Earth's atmosphere at a speed of 54,000 kilometers an hour. It would have shattered between 30 to 50 kilometers above the ground. That is, before, as it was coming to the ground, it split. That's what saved so many people. Here is the, that now that's the news. But now let me tell you something else that is happening. 50 to 100 meters. Now, I was reading projections for meteors or meteorites which actually have a chance of hitting the Earth in the coming future. Now, one of them weighs about 40 billion tons. And it is estimated to hit the Earth on April 4th. Okay, the science says there is a slim chance, eh? Like over something percent and what. Eh? So it's not a definite, you understand? Eh? But for some reason, it is estimated to hit the Earth on April 4th, which is Passover Day, okay, in 2036. Now, there is another one, which is nearly as big. Actually, it is called, its name is called Apophis. That's what they named it.
those scientists, those clever, foolish guys.
They called it Apophis after the Greek god of destruction. And it is first estimated to hit the earth in 2029, and then 7 years later. I don't know why 7 years later, but actually exactly 7 years later. 2029, also around the same time, and 2036, also around the same time, 7 years later. Now, what does that mean? I don't know. But what I know is, judging from these effects of this thing, now if you go back to the scripture and you see what Revelation 6:12, he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of the hair, and the moon became like blood, okay? And the stars of the heaven fell to the earth. Now, actually, this is what happened, stars of the heaven falling to the earth. Amen? Because remember, when the meteorite breaks, it comes as falling stars. Those things which you sometimes see, and your superstition tells you that to make a wish. So like when you see it, you say, I want to get married. So, according to your superstition. But now that is just small pieces. Now imagine a bigger one. Now that was just 100 meters in diameter. You understand? Eh? Now this one will be several times. The one which was 100 kilometers was the other one in 1908, which caused a lot of havoc over a great period. Now, the one which is just like which these people are looking at, I'm not saying it's going to hit the earth, neither are they saying that, but is several times bigger and is extremely heavy. Now, you know what happens is, if it hits the earth and takes it out of its orbit, perhaps closer to the sun, then the earth will just melt. Eh? Because somehow, you remember the Big Bang Theory? Those two bottles which banged and became a jerrycan? Not only did they become a jerrycan, but the jerrycan was positioned in such a way that if it came even within a few kilometers of the sun, the heat would be unbearable, would all die. If it went a few kilometers further back, it would be so cold, would die. So somehow, the bang was so clever, it positioned the earth in the exact place where it is optimum for us to survive. Do you see how intelligent that bang was? So now, imagine something that big hits the earth and shakes it out of it and pulls it toward the sun. Then, Peter's prophecy of it will be melted with fervent heat. You understand? Eh? Peter says the earth will be melted with fervent heat and dissolved. And that, by the way, is not several kilometers if it gets out of, a bit closer to the sun. And a bit further away from the sun, then we die of cold. You understand? Eh? So actually, exactly where we would survive is where that bang placed us. Eh? Amen? But do you see how stupid this is? Eh? It's like saying this building, two buildings hit each other and they produce this building. And with the lighting and what and all that. Eh? Like, how can anybody even believe that? Eh? But if you've chosen not to, now that's what the scripture says. Eh? Because they knew God, but did not involve him in their knowledge, they became foolish. And actually they became extremely foolish, and he gave them over to a reprobate mind. That's a mind which is hopeless, like reprobate. But of course, they convince themselves they're intelligent, but we know otherwise. Now, this year, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and the heavens will pass away with a great noise. Eh? Remember the guy who said there's a great noise? Of course it hits, and there's a tremendous noise, and the noise actually makes windows shatter. Now, that thing of noise, people making noise and windows shatter, I only saw it in comedies. Eh? But now, here, an actual noise, with a tremor which is so big that windows shatter. Now, with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Remember, this guy said, 60 kilometers away, you could sense the heat away from it. And that was a small one. It's actually a very small one compared to what we are talking about here. And both the earth, now, and it will be dissolved, it says in the next scripture. Now, go back to Revelation 6:13. And the stars of the heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree. You know what that could be. Could be, eh? Remember, I'm not saying this is what it is, eh? But I know that the things which are written in the Bible, they happen in a way that actually fits into our normal lives. Eh? And you only have to understand the language of the Bible and compare it with what you're seeing to actually understand even Bible prophecy. One of the things that the Lord reveals is you see a prophecy and you see the fulfillment, and you have to get the eyes of understanding to actually see that, hey, this was actually what was prophesied, and it came to pass exactly because of the symbolism and all those things. And because the people who were shown these things could only describe them in a language which they knew, or using things that they knew, okay? So if somebody sees, if somebody like John in the book of Revelation sees choppers, military choppers, apaches, and he says that he saw locusts. Actually, when I looked at locusts and looked at those helicopters, they're exactly the same. But how was John supposed to know that? For him, they actually look like a locust with a tail behind with eyes in front. Have you seen those things which the Americans used in the Gulf War in 1991? Go and Google them. I Googled it, and then I Googled the locust, because I don't know how a locust looks. Eh? The closest I know is a grasshopper, okay, which I consume. Okay, which I used to consume. Anyhow, so I put the two together, and actually they look the same. Now I'm thinking, if 2,000 years ago, how is John supposed to describe military choppers? He has to use either an animal, a metal, or something, something which could fit within his understanding at the time. You understand? So now it's up to you who is interpreting it. And now the thing is, God knew that the people who are living that time will know what he's talking about. Eh? Even if John himself, who is saying it, does not know. He's just seeing things in the spirit and writes. So he just sees things in the spirit and writes. And he describes them as best as he can. And God does not help you describe. He shows you, and you describe in your language. Because the people who are going to read it will need to understand it at that level, not at his level, you understand? So as a fig tree, so now imagine this big meteorite comes falling and splits in the earth, as they usually do, because they're actually particles of dust and water, and you know, which has been compressed over so many years and holds in it a lot of heat, and it falls aside. So now small ones, like let's say the one which fell in Russia in 2013, start splitting all over the earth, and then one big one comes. Now, then it's like the stars are falling. You understand? Eh? So, how does John describe that? The stars will fall. How is he going to say meteorite stars? Okay, which actually is not far from the truth. As, okay, shaken by mighty wind. Go ahead. Then the sky recedes. Remember what the other guy saw? That I saw as if the sky splits. Because if something big is coming through the sky, and you're actually seeing it, and it is so big it can be seen, let's say, across a continent, then you actually see the sky open. And now, then it says, okay, and every mountain and every island is moved out of its place. In other words, the earth, the entirety of the earth is shaken. That's a mighty earthquake. And actually, the scripture says, such has never been, neither will ever be. As in, the mother of all earthquakes, eh? That don't even compare it with any earthquake that you've known. And there have been some tremendous earthquakes which have caused tremendous damages and caused tsunamis and what. Now this one, it says that an earthquake such as has never been, nor will ever be, okay? And everything is shaken, the whole earth is shaken. Then when that happens, then everybody is scared. Jesus said the stars will fall from the heaven and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Now after that, the scripture says, then when it opens up and everybody is in that state of fear, go back to Revelation. And every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountain and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Now, in other words, they are telling these things which are falling, just fall on us. Eh? Because what is coming is worse than this. Eh? Now, then, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, and the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, and having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. Now, these servants of their God on the foreheads will be those people who will have missed the rapture. Amen?
or those who will have been converted in the time between the rapture and the end of the age. Those people who will still be on earth, many of them will be actually of Jewish descent when this happens, but so many of them will be not. Now, those of us who will have been raptured will actually be coming with Jesus Christ from heaven. So when all this is happening, we are not here, okay? But it's good for us to know what's going to happen, praise the Lord. But we are not here now, because when the rapture happens, then when Jesus Christ is coming, he's coming with the believers, with the saints, coming to earth. But the scripture says that when the sky recedes like a scroll, the way you roll up a scroll, then suddenly the whole earth sees the throne and sees Jesus, you know, descending. Then the whole earth knows that they have been deceived, because by that time all the people who are there have actually successfully been convinced, you know, that crap, there is no God, what, you know, science and all that. Yeah? So that's the life they are leading. They have taken the mark of the beast, with a few exceptions of people who will have been saved. But now all of them have believed that, and they actually fully persuaded about it, until now they see the throne. It's open to everybody. It recedes. They see the throne, and then they see him descending. And then he comes, and then the angels go and seal those who will have received the Lord. And then Jesus Christ comes and sets up his kingdom on earth. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. So now, these things that we talk about, that the scripture talks about, are not things out of our grasp, of our understanding. I've showed you that actually this great meteorite, which I believe might be, like, there is no certainty here, you understand? Eh? But you see, you just predict, and like the Lord has also given us wisdom. Eh? Like, you just predict and see, what could this be? What could this be? In light of what we've seen before and what has already happened, so we can kind of see what these things could be talking about. Now, the fact that these people think 2029 and 2036, 7 years apart, why 7 years? Now, remember, the meteorite happens, if it were to happen in any of those years, at the end of the age, not at the rapture. Amen? Now, the rapture may occur 7 years before, or, I don't know, 3.5 years before, depending on what you believe. But it may happen 7 years before, 3.5 years before, depending on what you believe about that. So, I've made my own to a few people, where I try to make predictions of these things, and I can actually sense by what is happening in the earth a bit of what is going on. And some people even who think they know, tell me that, no, that is, because they have this sense that we have a lot more time. How many of you realize that 2029 is like how many years? 12 years from now. No, but I'm not saying this is, please get me right. I am not saying this is, me, I'm just, what they call prognosticating. Kubaza, like I'm doing kubaza. Now, if it was 2029, they first said that there was a 2.7% chance that thing would hit the earth. But the percentage went up a bit as time went on, went up a bit. And the thing is, it gets off there and can be coming like this. Let's say the earth is around here and it's coming like this. Now, if it comes too close to the earth, then gravity will pull it. You understand? So it has to be a certain distance away from the earth to just fall away. But otherwise, if it comes too close, then the gravity of the timing of the tribulation might pull it out. And of course, none of these things are not scientifically, but you see, the scripture says it, and it comes to pass, and science can, all these things. I told you even that I was in some literature from the New Age people. And by the way, those people mad. By the way, it's very dangerous literature. Eh? Very dangerous. I wouldn't advise anybody to read it. It can mess your mind up. Like, it is deeply spiritual stuff, but it is the top deception of the devil. You know, people think that when Jesus says that the devil is the father of lies, that he's telling these small lies. That endi wa ise nzijae, when you're actually aware. No, that's not it. Like, the most deceptive lies are the ones which are 90% truth and 10% lies. Like, they are very, because now, like, there's no way the devil can come and tell me Jesus is not the Son of God. Like, I would know that he's crap. But he knows what level. So now,
he will come at a level where he presents himself, like where you see the kind of temptation he was giving Jesus, where he's even quoting scriptures and what, you know, that sort of thing. Eh? Now, he's not going to tell Jesus, for you, deceive you with a beautiful girl, and that's okay. But now, when he comes to Jesus, the deception has to be at a higher level. Eh? Like, now he comes and rings truth and lies. Now, those guys, that's how their things are. But the key thing is this. Like, I wouldn't advise anybody to read that stuff. It is dangerous, deadly. Like, I read a bit of it just to get a bit of information, and then I put it away very far away. Eh? So, by the way, you have to guard the truth that you know. Eh? Because, like, somebody can come and get what you know and mess it up. And within a short, haven't you seen those? I remember a guy who was a top pastor here in town. Eh? Then somebody came and told him, you know, we are the Jewish race and what. The next thing, the guy got this thing of Jews and started putting on gandulas and started calling himself Melchizedek. You know, eh? Like, and like, man, eh? Now he calls himself Rabbi. Like, he, man, and like you see a top man of God, eh? Like, he got messed up. So sometimes when somebody comes with the truth, which is too much, just leave me alone. Let me guard what I know. You understand? Because the truth that you know is truth. Now, like, people can... Anyhow, so these people came and were saying that what happens after the rapture. Okay, no, they did call it the rapture. But they were talking, and a book written in 1994, which I found interesting, talking about an event where aliens are going to come and abduct as many as 2 billion people on the earth. And he said they will be just gone in a second. By the time you blink, they are gone. And then they even describe the kind of people who will be taken in that what? In that thing. They say people whose minds are still stuck in old religious, you know, thinking, eh? Who have not embraced this new way. You understand? Eh? In other words, people like you and me. Eh? So, and the scripture calls it a rapture, eh? But for the new ages, and told them, don't worry that the earth needs to do that to actually become better. And do you know what they give? They gave an example that in the time of Noah, when there was the earth, Mother Earth, eh? Don't use those words, eh? Those are new age terminology. Eh? Mother Earth was travailing, so people had to die. And then the people who remained could exist properly with the earth. Now what they are saying right now is the population is too much. And they actually say Mother Earth is like a human body. Now, a human body knows when it is time to release stuff, eh? When you've eaten a lot of pork and what. Eh? Now, the human body knows when it is time to excrete. Eh? So, it by itself now, they are comparing that, this big event, and actually the whole New Age world is talking seriously about this big event, which is happening when aliens are going to come and abduct people of backward mindsets. And they say that do not mourn for them. They will be happy where they are going, but because they don't know better. But now when Mother Earth has removed, the same way you feel after you've gone to the toilet, eh? And you feel, you know, if you were absolutely bloated and, you know, heavy on pork and what, and stuff, eh? And you go to the toilet and you have a good flush out. Now they say this is what the earth will feel like after it has what? Then now, the earth will be able to survive, to coexist, eh, properly with the people who will be left. Because right now, Mother Earth is not happy. And do you know what they call those people who will be taken by? Eh? No, they call them space wasters or something. They're space feeders or something. Like people who have no, like you have Temuina Mugaso, eh? So you're just occupying space. Eh? So that space where you stay, yeah, you're like they call it space feeders. There's some derogatory word. Eh? So now you'll be expelled out. Now for you are waiting for the rapture, eh? And you go, but the devil has prepared the world for the lies he's going to tell them after the rapture. Now these books are being published every time. And those people have people whom they call channelers. They tell them, we have been told it is coming close. Now, what I found interesting is the New Agers seem to believe the rapture is closer than the believers. Eh? You tell a believer the rapture is close, he says, no. I still have to see my grandchildren. I see. But now the people of the New Age actually believe that the rapture is what? Is near. And they actually, and they, okay, they said as many as 2 billion people. And what I found interesting is, like, it has been sold, now it goes slowly, it has seeped through society. Starting from 1947, the, you know, what do they call it? The flying saucer, aliens and all that. So now they keep it a mystery, then they release it, then they say they are aliens. And then the other day, one of the Pope's spokespeople said that the church is going to come across the biggest discovery yet when we discover that Jesus Christ was an alien. Yeah, that's what they said. That's what they said. I have we know. So you see why I be, now you see, religiously they have prepared people. Then scientifically and what, so this is an alien invasion. Now already there are people who are being taken by, there's even somebody, you know, I was telling you that time when what, Imperial Royal, somebody who, an alien visited him. Like somebody I know, a friend of mine, not like someone whom I know, a real friend. And many of you would know him if I told him, visited by what? An alien. And the thing came and said that, you know, I want to take you, and but it said that I want to first, now it is a man, and this guy is a guy, and it says that it walked through the wall, and entered his bedroom, and then came and sat on his bed. Now when he sat on his bed, there was another one standing, almost in the wall. Half of him was out of the wall, the other half was inside. So like the wall is like here, so you can only see. I don't know if he had a big stomach like mine, but you can only see the stomach, and you know. So the guy is standing there like that in the wall. So you can see his head up to here, like. So the guy says that if you want to see what we can do for you, let that man first come and sleep with you. Then the guy looked and said, but man, like he looked at his head. Then he told him. He said that my bed is with Jesus. As soon as he mentioned Jesus, and what happens is the whole scene just rolls away as if it wasn't there. Like actually it was there. You understand? Like it was there and you are in a place, then it like just rolls away as if you are watching a movie and yet you know it was true. So the thing all disappeared. Now, so people are seeing aliens. So this alien invasion comes, takes, according to the New Age explanation, takes people. So the people who remain on earth, who should be saying, man, this baroque were right, the rapture has happened. No, they'll be saying, those jokers have been taken. Now let us enjoy Mother Earth. Now you see how the devil deceives them, and then they take the mark of the beast, and they are actually enjoying their deceit. That's why the scripture says that God gives them over to a delusion. Like, now for you, you think, how can somebody believe that? But because your mind is not deluded yet. But you see, because they have been exposed to the truth, constantly, and they purposefully reject it, God gives them over to a delusion, and they believe a lie. And they find it so easy to believe a lie, and they just believe something as stupid as that, and they believe it. And so when they should have actually come to the Lord, because there will still be a window after the rapture, they will not. They will say, space feeders have gone. Now it's time for us to enjoy. Then until the sky recedes and it is too late, because at that time, the end of the age, okay? It will be too late for repentance. They say, too late for prayers. Okay, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Yeah, so now, this is the word of the Lord. Now, there are people who are having, people who, okay, now I'm even getting this, Pastor 8, some, okay, because I'm actually getting a lady who has been married but has demons which come and what? Like somebody comes, some spirit being comes and has sex with her at night and has actually affected her sex life with the husband and also conception, not conceiving. In the name of Jesus, Father, I free her, I release her in the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, I decree that that thing shall not happen again. And those dreams shall not happen again in the name of Jesus. And I come, if you are that person, when I go outside,
or at any other time, you come to me and I pray for you. Don't come out now because that's private information. But you can meet me at any other time. I want to. In the name of Jesus, I speak a release upon that person in Jesus' name and all the people who are in that category. Who are in that category in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. You're Susan. Okay, in the name of Jesus, Father, I cut off any contact with the demonic world that was brought into your life as a result of your relations. I set free you. I set free your brother in the name of Jesus. I set him free to go and find his feet and to achieve what he's supposed to achieve. And I set him free from any kind of underachievement in the name of Jesus. And from this day onwards, I set you and him free from any force of witchcraft in the name of Jesus. Every contract that you were entered into, I cut it off right now and I render it powerless over your life. I decree that it shall from this day onwards no longer have an effect over you. And now even those bad dreams, those dreams of being chased and every attempt of the enemy to pull you back to some kind of family altar, in the name of Jesus, I break it off in Jesus' name and I cut it off permanently in the name of Jesus. And now from this day onwards, you're set free to pursue God and to prosper and to thrive even in your marriage and in every area of your life in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for each and every person who connects here this day. I thank you for the grace that is in this place, for the wisdom to multiply us, the wisdom to show us the way, the wisdom to show us which place we are supposed to operate, the wisdom to take us from glory to glory and to teach us how to walk with you, Lord. I thank you, Father, because that wisdom is released here this day in the name of Jesus. I thank you in the name of Jesus because nobody is left behind. Everybody who connects here this day sees a return, sees a harvest. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you because this is your word. This is your will. This is your way. This is the way by which you lift us from glory to glory in every area of our lives. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And what this man was saying, by the way, I'm feeling that this anointing ownership of land, village, what, is not just for the other guy. You can receive that as well. You can receive it as well in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you because you release that. You release that. So you people have country homes. So anointing to own land in your villages in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. And this land comes to you so easily. Comes to you so easily. In Jesus' name. Now I see somebody who is approached this week, within these 7 days, I mean, and you say, I don't have the money. There's this land which is here, you know, buy it, I don't have the money. And yet, actually, if you just stood in an area of faith, the land would come to you somehow. So do not let the fact that the anointing is released, the anointing is not subject to money. Amen? It is only subject to your receiving and your faith. Amen? So receive it and be in faith and it shall be yours. In Jesus' name. Amen.